I've been kind of hammering away at it like all interview, but I would say just like shadow, like get out there, check it out. I know there's not going to be a local physical therapist who would say no to a high schooler wanting to hang out with them for a day.
Welcome to the Health Science Coach Podcast. My name is Drew Garner, and I'm a health science and physical education teacher. This is a podcast to help students, parents, and recent graduates learn about pathways into healthcare and sports medicine careers. These industry professionals lay out how their experiences have helped them get to where they are now. If you enjoy this content, please subscribe to the channel or download through your podcast player. Thanks again for spending some time with us today. Now let's dig in. Today we get the pleasure of meeting with two team members of Fit and Muscle and Joint Clinic. We have Doctor of Physical Therapy, Dylan Clark, Doctor of Chiropractic, Cole Bolin at the Crossroads Kansas City location. Guys, welcome this morning. How are we doing today?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Doing well, thanks.
Absolutely. I'm excited to be able to speak with both of you as different types of educational career paths, but both working for the same company. You guys have 9 locations of Fit MJC around the Kansas City area, and you guys work at 2 separate locations, but you have kind of the same general structure at each site. Can you start off by telling us, I guess, let's start with Dylan, what you do at the Overland Park location and what kind of a Fit MJC is?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So as a physical therapist, I'm responsible for seeing a decent amount of post-op cases, people just coming out of surgery, knee replacements, shoulder replacements, you name it, I see it. And additionally, Fit, I think, does a really good job of bringing in people just like direct access. So people in Kansas are able to come into a physical therapist or a chiropractor without a referral to a doctor. And so we see quite a bit of patients that way as well. We do a combination of treatments, just basically tailored to what the patient's needs are. We provide manual therapy, we do dry needling, therapeutic exercise, you name it, we do it.
Okay. Cool. So as physical therapist and then obviously a chiropractor, How do those two kind of roles in the office, you know, working together, coincide there, Cole?
Yeah, honestly, so the way that we set our model up, it's really, you shouldn't know a difference between the PT or the chiro whenever you're getting the treatment. Our whole goal as the company is we've tried to combine like the best of both worlds.
Okay.
Because our philosophy is basically like what we're trying to do is just give the best manual medicine we can, whether that's from a PT or a chiro background. So we try to make sure that all of our chiros know all of the soft tissue work, all of the exercises, and we make sure that all of our PTs know all of the adjustments and all the stuff that you would traditionally think of a chiro. So it works pretty well. We don't like share. Well, we share patients if we have to, but it's not like you'll come in, you'll see a chiro half the time and a PT half the time or anything like that. It's like once you've got your doctor, that's your guy. And yeah, that's who you go to the whole time. So
yeah, that's pretty cool. So what does a day in the life or, you know, a week in the life look like at Fit for each of you?
I'll take this one first, I guess. So it's honestly, it kind of changes week by week. It's consistent that you're seeing patients pretty much all the time, but like at any given time, you could have a marketing event on like a Wednesday afternoon and you could be working a 5K on the weekend, just whatever is going on in the KC area. We try and like at least get a clinician or two out there just to have a face up in the community. And then also at the same time, like a lot of our clinicians are clinical instructors as well. So like providing teaching experiences to PT and chiro students that are kind of coming through the ranks. So we're doing a ton of that as well over here. Cole, any adds to that?
Yeah. For the most part, I would say like for what we do like 30 treatments. So we're typically seeing between like 6 to 10 patients a day, trying to get people through. We do all one-on-one work, so we make sure that that like you're with your doctor the whole time you're in here. So we spend each treatment with the patient the whole time. So, but I mean, it's exciting working in the world of kind of like direct access, because you might get you might get something pretty basic like low back pain, in 1 second, you might get something just absolutely wild in the next second. Got all on your toes, got to have a pretty good understanding of as a whole of the field, because you never know what's going to come in the door next.
Absolutely. Yeah.
As far as the treatment wise, how long does a typical treatment last for a patient coming in through direct access?
For all of our patients, our initial evaluation is going to last about 60 minutes. And that's including subjective interview, kind of taking the patient through all their past medical history, and then actually the treatment itself. And then every follow-up treatment after that's going to last about 30 minutes.
Okay, cool. So Cole, we'll kind of start with you. As far as your educational background, you studied at Drew University for your undergraduate. How did you kind of choose to go there, and what did you study while you were there?
Yeah, so I ran track in college, so that made a quite a big role in which school I selected. But I ended up at Drury. My second year of college, I started at Truman State, didn't like it there, transferred my second year. But yeah, going in, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. So I just took the exercise science route, knowing that I liked sports and I liked being in the field and of exercise in general, and kind of morphed my way through all the classes until I got to the point where I realized that I wanted to go that PT or chiro route.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So then afterwards, you got your degree, you went and studied at Logan University in St. Louis, and that chiro route kind of took you that way. How did you choose Logan versus some of the other schools, in the Midwest?
Yeah, well, honestly, it was kind of like a impulse decision. Honestly, I was going through school. After I got out of school, I kind of I took a hiatus. Had a couple prereqs because I got into the whole PT chiro route late. So I had a couple prereqs I had to finish up. I was working at an inpatient physical therapy facility as a technician, just cleaning equipment and stuff. But it was kind of one of those things where I wasn't 100% sure what route yet I wanted to take. And then I was still shadowing other doctors as I was in between schools. Just trying to get a feel for everything. I just happened to shadow a chiropractor who treats patients basically the same way that we treat patients. And he was really a big drive for me as far as going to Logan, which is where he went to school. And then I also had some friends that had gone to Logan. So that was really the big push. But honestly, up until I met him, I was pretty much dead set that I was going to go to PT school somewhere. So I hadn't even really considered very many other chiro schools until that point.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So you mentioned you ran track in undergrad. What did seeing any of the treatments or getting treatments while you were in school, did that kind of help make you make that decision of PT, or did that kind of look at anything that maybe helped influence you at all?
Yeah, that had a big influence on me, honestly. Track did. I was best friends with my athletic trainer my first few years. So everything he was doing and how he helped me out was so influential with my progress as an athlete, but it also just seemed really exciting to be in that field. But then taking a step back and kind of looking at his life in general, I realized that the life of an athletic trainer is just so demanding with so many sports going on that I was I want to find a way that I can kind of do the same thing, but I don't have to be at the school at 5 a.m. taping ankles and then be there at 8 p.m. Finishing up treatments on athletes. So it was kind of a way for me to stay in the athletic space without having to commit my entire life to being at a training room all day long.
Right. Yeah. The trainers are the first one there and the last one to leave. And especially when you have athletes coming in early morning or late night, like you mentioned, that kind of can take a grueling time demand on that trainer. So Dylan, you studied at University of Kansas State University. What'd you study there, and how'd you kind of pick K-State as your destination?
Yeah, so I dual majored in kinesiology and nutrition. Initially, I started college majoring in biology with an emphasis on pre-med. I thought I wanted to be a physician. I thought med school was going to be the way to go for me. And then just kind of as I think it was about the middle of my sophomore year, my mom and sister encouraged me to start shadowing, get some experience in the clinic, and just see if like this is the right thing for me. And I quickly just figured out that it was not, because it's interesting work. It really is. But it just comes down to the fact that like you're really getting very little face time with your patients. You're spending maybe 5-10 minutes with each one, and then you're on to the next. So, like, it's a very busy day, which is fine with me. But as I kind of thought about it more, I realized I wanted to have a little bit more face time with my patients, get to know them a little bit better. It'd just be a little bit more rewarding for me. And at the end of the day, it's pretty important to have a job that's rewarding. So,
yeah, I completely agree with that. I have a undergraduate in sports marketing and, you know, ended up in a sales job for a couple of years and didn't really like what I was doing. And kind of went back and became that health and PE teacher and now doing this. And I think it's really beneficial to find something rewarding that you enjoy doing and talking to people and helping them along the way. So,
absolutely.
So you decided that, you know, being a clinician was not the right path for you, and you kind of decided to go study physical therapy and decided to go to St. Mary's. Was that right after K-State, or did you do anything in between?
Yeah, so I took a gap semester, if you will. Okay. Since I switched majors pretty late, I had to take an extra semester just to finish off those 2 degrees, and then I started PT school like that following spring after graduating in December. So yeah.
How did you choose St. Mary's versus some of the other schools around in the area?
I chose St. Mary's for a couple of reasons. I had applied to all four schools in the Kansas area, and I got accepted into St. Mary and Rockhurst, and then I had gotten accepted into a couple schools like on the East and West Coast. And admittedly, there was a girl, so wanted to stay close, and obviously good to stay close to family as well. And I was really impressed with St. Mary's rates of passing the board exam after graduation, because really what it comes down to with PT school, it doesn't really matter where you go, it just matters that you pass the board exam. I was impressed that they had like 95% pass rate after graduation, so I felt comfortable going with that school.
Yeah, I have quite a few friends that are obviously physical therapists and chiropractors. How would you guys compare your boards versus each other's?
Very different.
Chiropractors are way harder. That's the bottom line to it. Yeah. I think the main difference that I've noted talking to like the PTs that I work with and like going through my experience, our boards are broken up into 4 parts, which right. I think honestly makes it like it's difficult. It's very stressful, but I think it makes it easier because it's not like you're trying to learn everything for one test. It's like, I've got these subjects that I've got to like, they're going to ask me like the hardest questions they can think of, but at least I know that these are the subjects I got to study for this test, and these are the subjects I got to study for that next test. Whereas with PT, from my understanding, Dylan can speak on this more, but from my understanding, it's just like, hey, you went through all of this school, now answer all these questions we came up with about it. So the honest answer is probably Cairo might be a little bit easier just because it's broken up, but
I guess, I mean, it depends, who you ask. It depends who you ask. Like, if you are a type of person who would rather just get it all done in one blow and feel comfortable, like, taking one test to determine the fate of the rest of your life, then I would say PT would be a little bit easier. But if you like breaking things up a little bit more and, like, what are the times in between taking your 4 parts of the board exam? I don't exactly know.
Oh man, so you can take part one at any point after your first year. So that's when most of us do is like we'll take our first year or after our first year, we'll take part one, and then we'll take part two kind of somewhere in the second year, part three kind of more towards the beginning of the third year, and then part four as we finish. Or you can do the route that my class did and just take part two, part three, and part four in like a 4 month period and just absolutely hate yourself. So,
but yeah, with, so like the PT board exam, just to give you like an idea of what it is. It's a 5-hour long exam. It's got five parts to it. 50 questions each, and essentially you just crank it out all out in one go. Once you submit like one section, you can't go back. So like oftentimes what you'll see is like there will be like hints, or like you'll kind of understand, oh man, I missed that question, because the next question in the next section kind of like gives it away, but you can't go back. So it's just like, all right, stay focused. So that's the PT board exam for you.
Yeah, they both sound similar information, just broken down differently. And so after you guys finished school and got your passed your boards and got your certification, what other job experiences have you had that you've been able to take away some knowledge from to implement at FIT?
You want me to go first, Cole?
Yeah. So after I finished undergrad, you can. Yeah.
No, you go, man. You got it.
Okay. Yeah. So after I finished undergrad, like I said, I was a technician for an inpatient physical therapy clinic. So I went from doing like an ortho floor, where I was doing like PT tech for orthos, to doing like inpatient rehab floors, which was like a big driver in why I was so interested in exploring other options, just because like being in that inpatient world, that was definitely not the route for me for the rest of my life. That was like inpatient and outpatient are very different in like workflow and kind of like what you're able to do with patients. So, one of the biggest things I think I took away between like from my whole educational experience is just trying to get as much exposure to it as you can, because if I would have not gone out and found that chiropractor, I mean, I might be a personal trainer somewhere right now, because there was no way I was going to put myself through how grueling PT school was to be an inpatient PT. That just wasn't going to be for me. So I think the more exposure you can get to things, kind of a similar experience that Dylan had with being an MD, like the more exposure you can get to them, the more that you can really figure out what's the best route for you. But that definitely, like, I still use some of the stuff that I learned from that on some of the patients that I do today. So,
Dylan?
Yeah. So, before I changed my major and decided that I want to focus on physical therapy, I went ahead and got my EMT license, and worked as an EMT for like a summer. Hated it. But it was a good experience. It definitely kind of exposed me more to the inpatient side of things. I didn't see a ton, because a lot of the time I was out in the road. But it was kind of a good like first experience to inpatient. But it kind of takes me to my point of like, I would just really suggest anybody who's interested in whatever they're doing to just get out and shadow and like actually get in there and like see what it's like. Because like even the difference, there are so many different types of environments that you can like be in. So like, for example, my final year of college going into that gap semester, I worked as just like a PT technician at an outpatient clinic in Kansas City. And essentially like I thought that this was not for me, because that clinic was like double booking, triple booking patients, just cranking as many patients out per day as possible. And it was pretty grueling. Like even as the technician, I was like, man, like, these days suck. And so for the longest time, I was like, I don't think outpatient is for me. So like when I went into PT school and started that whole thing, I was thinking inpatient was going to be the way to go. And then I got a little bit more experience, did a little bit more shadowing, observed some clinicians, and I just realized like there can be so many different environments even within the outpatient realm. So like compared to a lot of the kind of more cookie cutter blueprint outpatient PT clinics in the area, like they're basically cranking out as many patients as possible, trying to basically make as much money as they can. And I get it. It makes sense. But I really do appreciate the FIT approach, where it's just like only one-on-one sessions, which is really important to me.
Yeah. So that kind of goes into the next question is, you know, what do you guys really find personal rewarding about being able to work for FIT?
Uh, I think that one-on-one experience is what makes it most rewarding for me, because you, in those 30-minute sessions, man, you really get to know these people. So you're not just like giving them a sheet of exercises and wishing them the best of luck. You're along for the journey with them. So like whenever somebody makes progress, it feels like I'm making progress too, you know. Like I feel like when they're getting better, I'm getting better. So I think that's probably what gets me up and gets me to come in every morning whenever we get up at those 7 a.m. patients, even though I hate mornings. Like a gallon of coffee and the fact that I know that whenever they're going to succeed, that's going to make me feel like I'm succeeding. It's probably the biggest reward for me.
Absolutely. I guess the best way for me to like describe like how rewarding this job is like just to talk about a patient. Like I saw a Johnson County Community College soccer player who had torn her ACL. I started seeing her maybe like 9 months ago, 8 months ago. And I mean, I saw her from start to beginning. She came in here limping, massive brace, ton of swelling, was not in good shape. And I just watched her play her first soccer game last week. So it's just like super, that right there, that's what does it for me.
Yeah, that's pretty cool to be able to see that transformation from, you know, coming in post-surgery to seeing them go out and be able to play their first game. That's pretty cool. What kind of misconception?
I think the thing too.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think the thing too, though, is like I was saying, with us having longer treatments, man, I feel like a lot of these patients are like my friends now too. Like there are patients I've had for years that I'd go out and get a drink with them on the weekends and stuff. Like they become a part of your life whenever you're in it with them that long.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, 30 minutes, 2-3 times a week, that starts to add up. You know, you really get to know these people.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So misconceptions, what kind of misconceptions do you think people might have about either fit, as you know, having a doctor of chiropractic and a doctor of physical therapy in the same building working, or you know, just as people may think about rehabbing from injury with a chiropractor or physical therapist?
Yeah, I think honestly, any profession that you get in, there's going to be just a ton of misconceptions. Just because like that's the nature of the game, especially in something that's as broad as like rehabilitation or like manual medicine. Like it's kind of like we were getting at with the last question on how there's so many different environments. There's so many ways that you can structure what we do and do what we do. There's going to be good and bad with any field. So having like, just finding the right provider, I think, is the most important part with any sort of situation, regardless of the letters after their name, I think is huge. Mm-hmm. One of the big misconceptions, I think, though, is that physical therapy and chiropractic has to be different. And in my mind, like I said, the way that we structure things, we're just trying to give the best manual medicine possible. So I don't really think that there needs to be a difference.
Yeah, I agree. So let's talk about Fit Muscle Joint Clinic and kind of some of the treatments you guys have. You know, I met some of the people working, as you mentioned, doing stuff out on the weekend. We kind of ran into them at the Kansas City Golf Show, and I talked to them about, you know, some of the stuff that they did for golfers. As I play golf and coach golf. So I was pretty interested in learning about all the different stuff that you guys are able to provide there for patients in the clinic. Some of the treatments, you know, just listed on the website: head, neck, back, shoulders, arms, hips, knees, ankles and feet, and specialty care. I mean, that pretty much sums up your whole body right there. Do you guys have any specialties or, you know, things that you like kind of enjoy working on versus another?
I mean, for me, I wouldn't say necessarily like any particular body part. I mean, knees and shoulders are pretty fun. But I mean, as far as just like techniques that I really enjoy doing, I love doing dry needling. I think it's undeniably really effective. You tend to see the fastest results if you're doing that type of thing compared to just like just doing exercise and manual therapy. And I mean, I can speak to it myself. Like I used to have chronic low back pain. I was a golfer and a soccer player, and basically after every game I would play, I would just be in pain for like 2 hours. So I started dry needling maybe like a year ago, fairly consistently, and I really haven't had any issues since.
Cole, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I don't necessarily have any specialty as far as like body parts or anything either. I think what makes this job so unique though is that like you really got to know the whole body for what you're doing. In our setting, there are certain situations where you want like a specialist. If it's like a concussion or something like that, you're going to want to see somebody specifically for that. But whenever you see as many people as we see, like, you got to have an understanding of the body as a whole.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't tell you how many people I've had walk through the door that the doctor said that they have like a chronic shoulder problem, but it really comes down to their neck, or they have a chronic hip problem, or it really just comes down to their low back. And so just understanding the body and the systematic chain is just huge.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So you kind of mentioned dry needling a little bit. Can you explain to us a little bit what that is, and some of the other like stuff you guys do, maybe blood flow restriction training or ART and Graston?
Absolutely. Yeah. So with dry needling, basically it's a technique that allows us to kind of get deep into that muscle fiber and release what we call trigger points, just kind of balled up fibers of muscle tissue that have developed after that muscle is just under stress and tension for long periods of time. It can cause a little bit of soreness after your first session, but typically it gets a little bit better after each time. And then after we actually get the needles into that muscle fiber, we hook it up to a little bit of electric stimulation and just get it to pulse through that muscle for a few minutes. It kind of serves to just relax that muscle fiber, make it a little bit more malleable, calm down a little bit more. With Graston, basically what we're trying to elicit with Graston is what we call a petechial response. You'll notice like a lot of redness starting to develop. If you get aggressive enough, you can cause bruising as well. But really what's going on is we're just trying to provide as much blood flow to that area as possible. Oftentimes when muscles are chronically tight and there's an area that just really gives you a lot of issues, kind of just restarting that healing process, providing more blood flow, bring a little inflammation to that area is what it needs.
And then, Cole, you want to talk about blood flow restriction?
Yeah. So some of the other just like rehab triggered like modalities that we do, like BFR or blood flow restriction, that's an awesome, because what it does is like it restricts the venous return, but it still allows the blood to get to the muscle. So this can have a profound effect as far as like the way that your brain senses what's going on, and like the kind of hormones and the chemicals that it releases for repair, right? So they always talk about how like one session of blood flow restriction, even though that we can do exercises at a very low scale, like body weight even, to the brain, it's the same response as if you just done like a one rep max workout. So it's going to send the same amount of like chemical and hormonal response to that area, which really kickstarts that healing process. If you've had someone who physically can't perform something because of a lack of strength or something, it just brings that along so much faster than trying to just do it the old fashioned way with just bands or something like that. But the other thing that I think is kind of unique that we use is an exercise technique called DNS, which is dynamic neuromuscular stabilization. And it's all rooted in like developmental kinesiology, and like how like we learn to move our bodies as a baby, like how we learn originally to move our bodies. Combining that in with some of the stuff like Dylan was talking about, some of the dry needling, some of the Graston, like if we can get those muscles that are over dominating our movement patterns to relax and calm down, and then we can put you in certain DNS positions, get you in a situation where it's forcing your brain to kind of relearn how to stabilize yourself appropriately. it has a huge effect on how fast you can recover, because your body is not just like, not just the muscle and the joint, it's as much the like the neurology and how we control what's going on with those muscles and joints as well. So using a technique like DNS, where it's like stealing from the developmental patterns, it really like, it kind of ties the bow to everything else that we do.
Okay. So then as far as an ideal client, like if somebody was coming in to get treatment, what are you looking for as far as, you know, somebody that you like would really enjoy working with?
I would say if I had to pick two words, it would be consistency and open-mindedness. You know, just because they haven't tried something before doesn't mean that it's not going to work. Or if they've tried it before and it didn't work for them, maybe let's try it one more time and see if that helps. But also, more importantly, I would say consistency. If I give them home exercises to do, I want them to do it. If I tell them that they need to be coming 2 times a week, they should be coming 2 times a week. I always compare physical therapy and chiropractic to like brushing your teeth. It's like you can't just brush your teeth once a week for like an hour and call it good, right? You got to brush your teeth like every day, morning and night. Keep it consistent. And that's what's going to keep things clean. So like with physical therapy, yeah, you got to come to your physical therapy sessions, but at the same time, you got to be doing your exercises at home as well.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. We treat all kinds of patients. You know, my youngest patient is probably 13. My oldest patient is probably 82. So I think the biggest thing is just people who come in and understand that it's not like you lay down on the table and we fix you. Like we're not here to fix you. We're here to like be your guide and teach you how to get better on your own. So that's where that consistency that Dylan's talking about really comes into play. We can do all the adjusting and the soft tissue and stuff, and maybe we can make you feel better. But if you're not willing to put in the work yourself and do the exercises, do the stuff we teach you to find the long-term solution, then it's just not going to be worth your time to even bother with the short-term solution.
Right. So then to keep up with your credentials and your license, what types of professional development do you guys kind of look for personally to keep up with your CEUs?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm currently about to get licensed certified in TPI, which is Titleist Performance Industry. It's basically like it's a golf's take on physical therapy and chiropractic, if you will. Like how to rehab, what exercises are good, core stabilization, leg function, all of that type of stuff. But for me, like really anything that I don't like to rule anything out. Like I just had a pain science continuing education course, like, I don't know, what was it called? Maybe like 5 or 6 months back. And loved it. Like I thought it was very interesting. It kind of changed my approach to patients that I work with who are dealing with chronic pain and central sensitivity and all that type of stuff. But I mean, admittedly, I'm a huge sucker for sports. So I mean, anything like active, any sports associated stuff. I think we're doing a DNS weightlifting class this summer. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, for me, it's really anything that just takes the stuff that we've been trained on and just takes it to the next level. Like a lot of the things that we do aren't necessarily the things that you learn in school, right? Like I always say that the school's job is to get you to pass the board. Your job is to take what you do from there and become a better physician, a better doctor, a better therapist. So really, like a lot of the continuing education courses that we take, it's directly tied into the kind of treatments that we provide. So it's a lot of the dry needling, the BFR, like kinesio taping courses, stuff like that.
So with that DS strength training, I guess that's going to be one of the kind of goes into the next question with industry trends as far as professional development. What are some of the trends you guys have seen over the last year as far as professional development?
I think we're getting to the point where there's a lot more emphasis on like the brain side of rehab. Right. We're getting away from like so much of like a biomechanical standpoint and realizing that it's like as much of a like pain is so interesting because it's not like a one mechanism thing, right? It can be as much a tissue or an inflammatory thing as it can be like how your brain responds to what's going on in your body. So right. Sometimes pain is damage. Sometimes pain is like your brain is afraid that if you do something, it's going to cause damage. So I think a lot of the industry trends you're seeing is we're starting to understand that more, and we're trying to focus more on the person and what they're experiencing through the process, and not just so much on what muscle we're having them work whenever they're in this position.
Absolutely. I mean, I would say, like, I was just about to say pain science. Like, I think in the past even 5 years or so, pain science has gotten so much more credibility in the kind of healthcare field, if you will. For a long time, it was kind of like, it was a thing, but it wasn't a thing. And it really, they're doing a good job of educating PT and chiro students coming through the ranks. That like just pain itself, it's not a one way traffic stop. Everybody experiences it the same way. Like pain is a unique experience, and it's based off of a multitude of different experiences in your past. You know what I mean? So like if you've got history of injury in your knee, like you might experience a knee injury different than I would. It's a lot more complex than we initially thought, which makes it very interesting. It goes to show that literally every patient is different. You could have three knee replacements walk in the door, and they could all can be completely different types of cases.
Cool. Do you have anything that, like, kind of looking back at your career so far, that you wish you would have done differently throughout the educational process, that would have helped you or expedited the process to get to where you are now?
I think for me, trying to get exposed to all those like continuing education courses, even whenever I was in school, a lot of times these seminars that they do, they allow students to go. And like I said earlier, I really feel like the big part of school is getting you to pass the boards, right? So a lot of the stuff that I do on a daily basis isn't something that's taught in school. So getting exposed to that whenever you're in school and getting a better understanding of what you need to be successful once you've passed your boards, I think that could have definitely helped me and sped up my process a lot.
I mean, that's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, just as far as just getting out there and shadowing, I wish I would have done that more. I did it a little bit before PT school, but I admittedly didn't do a ton like during PT school. So I got to that final semester. I had just taken my boards. I was graduating in a month, and I still really didn't know what I wanted to go into. And so it kind of put me in a corner, and I had to make a quick decision. It ended up working out perfectly. I love it here. This is like my ideal environment. But I wish I would have been a little more prepared on my side, because I had to make a quick decision. But it all ended up working out perfect.
Good. Yeah. I think, you know, just that a lot of people are saying that just getting out and getting as much experience as you can before you make that decision of what you want to do, I think is a good just general idea for everybody. As far as professionally, where do you guys kind of see yourselves 10 years down the road from now?
Well, for me, I'm currently a director of one of the clinics now. So it has a really good program where as a director, you can become like a part owner of the clinic and kind of move up through the ranks with that. So that's definitely kind of the plan that I'm on currently, is like, I would like to get to a point where I can like be a third owner in the clinic that I run and get more doctors in here, get a busier clinic, and like just grow the brand more for the folks of the downtown area here.
Yeah, that's good. Good path to be on.
Yeah.
For me, I would say, being a clinic director is always a good goal of mine. I would hope to maybe achieve that here in the next like 4 or 5 years. But besides that, like I just want to keep an open mind. Like it's always been a dream of mine to work for a professional sports team. Like that would be amazing. But at the same time, like I don't know a ton about it. You know, I've never really shadowed like a professional, like a sports physical therapist, if you will, in a professional environment, like for the Chiefs or for like the Royals or something like that. So who knows? I may hate it, but it's always just kind of, it's been in the back of my head. But I think, yeah, just moving forward, my big goal right now is just trying to become a clinic director somewhere.
Awesome. So we're going to go through four different kind of educational scenarios, working from a student that is in high school to somebody that is graduated in 6 months in their first position. So kind of looking at your educational background and advice that you may have received or advice you think you would give to a student now that's interested in working as a physical therapist or a chiropractor, what would you recommend a high school student be doing currently if they think they're interested in that career path?
I think what I would recommend from the start is just honestly, I think the biggest thing is just enjoy the experience that you're on right now. Like, high school is such a short period of our lives that you don't get to go back and experience all that stuff. So you've got to study, you've got to get in the books, you've got to make good grades. But at the same time, like, you got to kind of enjoy the path while you're on it, and don't get so tunnel focused in on one thing that you miss out on other experiences.
Absolutely. I mean, high school is an amazing experience, and you shouldn't try and get like 5-6 steps ahead when you're still on step two. So, I mean, I think I've been kind of hammering away at it like all interview, but I would say just like shadow, like get out there, check it out. I know there's not going to be a local physical therapist who would say no to a high schooler wanting to hang out with them for a day, just to kind of see if it's for you, because it may not be. It may not be. I love it. Cole loves it. But it's really comes down to you making your own decisions and kind of experiencing it for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's look at that sophomore in college now. You know, they're studying their undergraduate and, you know, maybe getting ready to start some advanced exercise kinesiology type classes. And they've done some shadowing. Do you have any advice for maybe like a part-time job or something that they could be doing as far as clubs or organizations to join?
I think one of the most helpful part-time jobs I ever had was personal training. Being a personal trainer, you learn so much about how to interact with your client, which is essentially the same interactions you have whenever you have a patient. So being able to like do some personal training, that advances your knowledge on the body itself, but then it teaches you how to adapt your rehab to meet patients where they're at, by having to learn how to adapt the exercises to meet your clients where they're at.
Absolutely. I mean, I was just going to say personal trainer, but if not a personal trainer, like at least something in the medical field, like something where every day you're being exposed to medical terminology, you're being exposed to different equipment, patients, populations, all that type of stuff. Right. And then just on top of that, like volunteer work is pretty important. At least for PT school, they require like a pretty hefty amount of volunteer hours, and they want to see that it's pretty diverse. It's not just like 105 hours at this one location. They want to see that you're getting out there, you're doing different things for the community. And admittedly, I got a little bit of a late start on it. So I had like about a year in some change where I was just trying to get as many experiences under my belt as possible before I applied for PT school.
So then as far as somebody that's, you know, let's say 3 to 6 months away from graduating with either their doctorate of chiropractic or physical therapy, you know, maybe they're starting to study for those board exams or look for jobs. What advice would you have for them as far as time allocation and management of studying for the boards, finishing your classes, and looking for a job?
I can't speak for PT school, but I know the way that they structure Cairo school, a lot of that last year, they understand that everybody's really focused on their boards. So a lot of those classes are, they're a lot less coursework involved, and it's a lot more like clinical stuff.
Right.
I think just trying to dedicate a good portion of your day every single day to studying for the boards is probably the most important part, because I think at a certain point we almost put too much on ourselves, where we're like, I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to do that, and like we have all of these like things built up that we have to do to be a great student and a great doctor and like build the best future for ourselves. But I think in that situation, the big thing that I had to like step back and say to myself was that like the most important goal that I had at that point in time was passing those boards. And if I didn't do that, then all that external stuff that I was doing didn't matter anyway. So really, really focusing on that main goal at that point in time, checking that off the list, and you'll have the rest of your career to get better at, your dry needling or like all the clinical stuff that you feel like you may be missing whenever you're reading the books and really trying to make sure that you're ready for that test.
Absolutely. I mean, as far as PT is concerned, typically they do the same thing with the last semester. It's just a ton of like elective courses. And the load is significantly lighter than other semesters because they understand you're preparing for your boards. And like, honestly, it's exactly what Cole said. It's like, you have to basically treat studying, especially for PT, because it's just one test. You have to treat studying for this test like a job, right? So like I took my boards May 2nd, and I probably started studying for that test at the beginning of the year. I was probably first few months maybe putting in like an hour or two per day on all the weekdays and just giving myself the weekends off. And then when March, kind of mid-March hit, I started taking practice tests every Sunday. They started off with like just the mini practice test, like not the full version. But I kind of created an actual schedule, so I knew what I was going to be doing that week. And I think for the last month, every Sunday I took like a full practice test, like the full 5 hours. And so I think the most effective thing for me, like approaching that test, was creating that schedule, and basically like not trying to focus on one topic too much, right? So like, okay, so today I'm going to focus on musculoskeletal. Tomorrow is neuro. The next day, integumentary, stuff like that. Just so you know what you're getting into, and you're kind of spreading your resources across the board. I think people who do struggle with the board exam tend to focus a little too much on one topic of the board exam because they're super worried about it. But then what ends up biting them in the butt is like they didn't study other systems or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's really good. A good structure of, you know, progressively building up to taking that full test for the last month and you know, seeing how much time allocation you need for each part and segment. I think that's a really cool idea. As far as advice for an employee that, you know, maybe a brand new employee at FIT, you know, that's been there 3 to 6 months, what advice would you have for them as far as, you know, what they should be kind of focusing on and spending some time either with mentor or, you know, hashing out other ideas or focus areas?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that you can preach to people that early in your career is just patience. I think whenever we're in school, we get this idea that like we see all the doctors that are like 10 years out, 15 years out, just absolutely crushing it and seem to know absolutely everything. And then we get out and real life just kind of kicks us in the butt. And we don't have like a completely full schedule day one. And then there's always that first patient that comes in and you're like, I honestly just don't know what to do. And that's going to happen. That happens to the doctor 10 years down the road too. It's just they've been like battle tested enough that they know how to react and respond and where to go to get that started. So I think at 3 to 6 months, just being patient with the fact that the patients are going to come, they're going to build up, and then using your free time when you're not seeing patients to master your craft. Watch other doctors in the clinic, see what they're doing, see how they do things. Like, I think one of the biggest things for FIT that really helped me out was whenever we were going through. So I did my last rotation with FIT before I got started with them. And they had a kind of like a training program where like So I was shadowing one of the owners as my rotation, but then they were also putting me through a training program where I'd go to a different clinic and two doctors would walk us through and teach us how to do all the stuff we do at Fit. And the techniques that one doctor did versus the techniques that another doctor did, even though they were doing the same thing, they all had their own little twist, their own little way of doing things to get the best results that they can get. So, you know, whenever you're that far in, just watch what other doctors are doing and see if you can't take away something from their treatment to try to make yourself better.
Right. Yeah, I like that. I think that training program is pretty cool to implement as far as the new employees and rotation wise. It's pretty cool to have that set up for you guys. Do either of you have a book recommendation for a high school student, junior, senior, or maybe like a college freshman that is interested in exercise science?
I think the book most recently that I've read that I found most interesting is what's called A World of Hurt. It gets pretty technical, so it may not be the best for like early on in high school or not, but as far as like really trying to get into like the next wave of physical therapy and chiropractic, if you can understand that book, then you're going to be really, really well off with your patients whenever you get into that clinical aspect.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I mean, just as far as like a book I've recently read that I enjoyed, Peak is a good one by Dr. Harrow Bubbs. Basically, he's talking about like how even in the past 10 years, like athletic training and like the science behind becoming an athlete has absolutely like revolutionized. And basically just all the factors and aspects that go into creating the professional athlete, right? It's not just exercise. It's not just nutrition. There's a mental health aspect to it as well. So I did enjoy that book. It's a pretty quick read too. So that'd be a good one to hit up.
Yeah, absolutely. I like just getting your guys' ideas and, you know, seeing if I can't find these books and have them just sitting around the classroom for people to just take a look at and browse through and read if they're interested. So I appreciate that. A couple more questions for you guys, and I really thank you for your time today. Next question is kind of a two-part question. It's if you like and if you dislike blank, then this is not the right career path for you. So we'll go ahead and start with if you dislike blank, then working as a physical therapist or a chiropractor is not the right career path for you.
If you dislike people, physical therapy and chiropractic is not for you. Simple as that. I mean, the way I'll put it is like, you can be the best physical therapist in the world, have all the knowledge, know every technique, mastered every exercise. But if you're not a people person and if you can't build that connection, you can't get people on your side, you're not going to be an effective clinician. So that's my two cents.
I mean, that's 100% the correct answer too. Like there's no way to do this job without being able to interact with people. I would say like if you dislike like studying hard work, like this is going to be a field to get into. It's going to take, it's not the study doesn't stop when school's over, you know, like the continuing education goes on throughout your entire career. You've always got to consistently be learning because this field changes, and it changes so fast that some of the things that we thought 10 years ago today were like, 10 years ago were like the most important things in the world, and now we realize aren't really that important at all. And there's something new that's like so important now that we've done through our like our research. So you've always got to be on top of your game with like learning and staying up to date with the latest research. So if you're not somebody who is like interested in like consistently learning, if you just want to get through school and then be done with it, then this probably isn't the field for you.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I'm going to not let you guys say people or learning for this one, but if you do like blank, then this is the right path for you.
I would say, if you do like kind of feeling like a detective sometimes. Like it's especially with that direct access. Like sometimes you'll just get people, like they'll just say, I hurt right here and I don't know why. And so you just kind of have to fiddle out like what's going on. Okay, is it coming from the neck? Is it coming from the shoulder? Could it be coming from the arm? And like you'll be seeing those type of patients every day. So I mean, you're kind of like an anatomy, a body detective, if you will, just trying to figure out like what is causing this pain, which is something I really enjoy. It keeps me entertained. It keeps me engaged in my work, compared to like being an accountant where you're just plugging my numbers away all day. So I would say if you enjoy that aspect of things and just kind of like trying to be a detective in a way, it might be for you.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's a great answer. I'm at a disadvantage because Dylan got to go first. I think if you enjoy just being in the world of exercise and sports, this is a solid choice for you, because everything that we do is hands-on. Like I'm doing as many corrective exercises as my patients are, because I'm out there demonstrating every rep and like I'm showing off whenever like they do something wrong. I get down there and I try to show them what they did wrong and then show them what I want to correct it. So like it's not a job that you can just like passively do. You've got to be ready to get down and dirty and roll around on the floor with them. So
not a desk job.
Enjoy working now. Yeah, it's not a desk job for sure. Yeah,
absolutely. And then another question I have is, do you guys have a mantra or a quote that you kind of live your life through?
For me, it's just be super flexible. I like that kind of reminded me whenever Dylan was talking about quick decisions. Like whenever I ended up at Fit, it wasn't really by design. It was kind of like one of those things where I was emailing one of the doctors who worked here at the time, who had gone to my school. I was emailing her trying to shadow her, and I accidentally emailed the owners instead, and they responded and they were like, hey, if you're really that interested, why don't you come shadow us, and like we've got some jobs coming up. So like at the time, Kansas City wasn't really like a thought on my mind. Like Fit was like I was really just trying to get some more shadow experience. And then like all of this, like this like amazing situation just kind of fell into my lap. And so I think just being flexible and being willing to change as the things come. I really feel like everything that's positive that's ever happened to me has kind of just come together. And all the stuff that I've been like rigid, like this has to happen. A lot of times it doesn't happen, and it's for the best if it didn't. So
I would say for me, it's just like, it's what Cole said earlier. It's like in PT school, that school's job is to get you to pass the boards, right? And so once you pass the boards, like it's up to you to continue to improve yourself as a clinician. And like, that's what I'm trying to kind of like live my life by every day. It's like, I'm not the best clinician. You know, I'm not perfect. I have a lot of stuff to learn. But as long as I can like look back on the past year and say, am I a better physical therapist now than I was then? I'm happy.
Yeah, I like that. So you guys have 10 locations ranging from Paola, Overland Park, Lee Summit, Liberty, Crossroads, Blue Valley, spread out all the whole Kansas City metro area. If someone's interested in getting treatment or learning more about Fit MJC, do you have any social media outlets or websites you guys can talk about for a second?
Yeah, we're on all the major social media outlets. We got Facebook, Instagram. We've got a Twitter. I don't know if we really use our Twitter very much, but we're definitely super active on our Instagram. We've got somebody there ready to reply to messages at all times of day. So hitting us up there is acceptable. We also got a website. It's FITMJC, as in muscle joint clinic.com. We have our initial eval. We also have an ability for patient or potential patients to get like a free consultation with one of the doctors like me or Dylan here to kind of talk over what's going on and see whether or not we're even the right fit for what you've got going on. So that's available on our website too. So.
Okay. And that's, anybody can click on that link through the website and talk to somebody to see if you guys are a good fit. After that, they would come in then, like you said, for that initial 60-minute consultation and kind of set up their treatment plan for those 30-minute individual ones. If somebody has more questions for you specifically, do you guys have a social media channel or outlet that you are kind of more active on that you would be able to share?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram. My handle, I'll have to look it up. My handle is ColeBolin_DC.
So, okay.
Again, you can message me there. I respond to basically everybody that messages me on Instagram.
Perfect.
And, yeah, I'm on Instagram as well. I'm Dill in Crawford, but without the A. So it's D-Y-L in Crawford. That's me on Instagram. So I'm the same way. I'm pretty active on there. If got any questions, want to shoot me a message, I usually respond within a few minutes.
If you've made it this far into the episode, I want to thank you again for watching. Please subscribe, share, and comment below with any questions or comments you may have. If you're interested in more information about other professions within healthcare careers, please visit healthsciencecoach.com and talk to your school counselor or academic advisor. As always, stay happy, healthy, and live life with passion.